Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Hi, how you doing, man? Yeah.
Looking good. Everything is fucked up as usual, you know? When I was back there in seminary school, there was a person there who put forth the proposition that you can petition the Lord with prayer. Petition the Lord with prayer. You cannot petition the Lord with prayer.
Come on and get your pill. Woo! Welcome to another edition of Inside Wayne Manor with Stephen Wayne and friends. Yes, it is another special edition. This is the second part of my tribute to James Douglas Morrison, the rock star, the shaman, the Dionysus, but most importantly, the poet. This is called Jim Gone for 50, Part 2. So as always, I would like to thank you very much for subscribing to this podcast, and thank you very much for checking it out, and hopefully you enjoyed part one. And I'm telling you, man, I've had a really good time putting this one together. As we honor the 50th year, so-called, air quotes, passing of Mr. James Douglas Morrison. For as long as I can remember, man, I have loved music. And since first listening to The Doors' debut album, I loved The Doors. My two favorite is the first one, self-entitled, and the last one, L.A. Woman. L.A. Woman is my anthem record, especially now that I live here in Los Angeles, California. And then in the late 70s, not knowing much about the enigmatic lead singer being dead, I put them aside until 1980. That's when I got my copy of No One Here Gets Out Alive by Mr. Jerry Hopkins. I must have read that thing a dozen times through high school. I became obsessed, and that obsession carried through high school. And even when I worked in radio. During my radio career, I began to travel to California to cover musicians, shows, and I found Venice Beach. And that obsession began all over again. Venice Beach and listening to those two Doors albums. But it had taken on a new meaning. I began to research the Lizard King even more, spending time in his home county and now my second home. That leads me to this. I had a chance back in 2009 to interview the author of the book that started it all for me, Mr. Jerry Hopkins, co-author of the biography of Jim Morrison. I have never aired any of this audio until now. Working at a hard rock station my entire career, it just didn't seem relevant. But on this, the 50th anniversary of Jim Morrison's so-called death, here is some of my conversation with Jerry about Jim.
What made Jim Morrison tick?
Jim was one of the few rock and roll stars of that period, maybe of any period, that truly walked to a different drummer. There were an awful lot of rock and rollers back in the 60s who subscribed to the hippie ethic. But as soon as they got any money, they bought big cars and big houses and big drug habits. And Jim continued to live in a motel room and drank fairly cheap whiskey. He denied his parents were alive, which is, that's the epitome or personification of the generation gap. But beyond that, Jim really felt that what you should do is test the boundaries, to go out to whatever you perceive to be the edge and then go a little bit further if you can, to experience life more fully, even if there was risk involved.
But when you spoke with him and you spoke with him face to face, what did you think? Did you think that he was tortured, or did you think he was brilliant? What did you really think was going on inside his head?
I didn't think Jim was a particularly tortured individual, and the word brilliant is tossed around. Genius, that's tossed around too frequently, too. Jim was an extremely intelligent guy. Who read voluminously, seemed to remember everything he read, and put things together in an interesting fashion, intellectually. He wanted to be accepted as a poet, and I think that he regarded rock and roll as a platform from which he could project his poetry. And I think he succeeded.
And then you wrote The Lizard King afterwards. What prompted you to make a second go at it at Jim Morrison?
The Lizard King, which was published by a London firm, was that editor's idea. She wanted me to do a more personal take on Jim Morrison, and I felt that a good way to augment whatever it is I left out of the first book or what I personally felt about him was to include a lot of the question and answer interviews that Morrison had done during his life, because I felt he was not only intelligent but extremely articulate, and I wanted Morrison to speak for himself. So the second go-round was mainly to present Morrison in his own words.
That was Mr. Jerry Hopkins and the co-author of No One Here Gets Out Alive. He penned that book with Danny Sugarman, and he is also the sole author of The Lizard King. I also honor Mr. Hopkins because he passed away in 2018, so I was lucky enough to get a chance to chat with him. But I will tell you this, in 2012, I was delivered with the news that I was going to sit down with the one and only Mr. Ray Manzarek. I got the date, I jumped on a plane, and I flew to Venice Beach. As soon as I settled in, I was contacted by the representative for Mr. Manzarek, and he said Ray was not feeling well, and he definitely wanted to reschedule. Ah, the one that got away, because soon after, in 2013, Mr. Ray Manzarek passed away. And now, back to James on Jim. Mr. Morrison was kind of like a prophet. In his own words, we're going to hear him predict not only the future heroes, cultural statements, but he solidly predicted the future of music and EDM.
I think the new heroes will probably be political activists. In the 20s, it was sports figures, 30s and 40s, it was movie stars and World War II aces and all that kind of thing. And then then the music figures became the heroes. I think the next heroes will probably be a more intellectual sort, political activists and perhaps scientists and computer experts, people like that. People that have an understanding, an intellectual awareness, and a knowledge of how things run, how modern society runs, and they'll probably be the new heroes. I think each generation supersedes the last one in intelligence and awareness, and I think there's been a giant step recently. The young people that I've seen in my travels around, you know, while they're very young and naive in a lot of ways, I think they have an incredible intelligence and awareness. You know, I like to be pessimistic, but I think they're far better equipped to handle what's coming. Look at it this way, too. The hippie lifestyle is really a middle-class phenomenon, and it could not exist in any other society except ours, where there's such an incredible surfeit of goods, products, and leisure time. I think that's the reason for it, because the generations immediately preceding ours had world wars and depressions to contend with. For the last 10 or 15 years in this country, there's time enough, there's money enough to live a kind of a flagrant, outrageous lifestyle, which was impossible before.
But you know, each generation wants new symbols, new people, and new names for what they want to divorce themselves from the preceding generation. So they won't call it rock, they'll invent some new name for it.
Okay. It's kind of naive, because I think the future is going to become increasingly mechanized, computerized, as you call it. I don't think there's any turning back. It's just figuring out a way to survive and thrive in that kind of society. But I don't think there's any chance of going back.
I was talking about that this weekend, thinking a lot about it. I think the two basic types of music indigenous to this country are black music, blues, and the kind of folk music that was brought over from Europe, and with, I guess they call it country music, or the kind of West Virginia high and lonesome sound. That those are the two main streams of root American music. There might be others, I don't know. But it looks like 10 years ago, what they called rock and roll was kind of a blending of those two forms. And I guess what's happening now is that rock is kind of dying out. Everyone is going back to the roots again. Some are going back into country, and some are going back into basic blues. I guess in 4 or 5 years, the new generation's music will be, it'll have a synthesis of those two elements and some third thing that'll be entire. Maybe it'll be, it might rely heavily on electronics, tapes. I can kind of envision maybe one person with a lot of machines, tapes, and electronic setups, singing or speaking and using machines.
Not bad, huh? Also, Mr. Mojo Rison and I had something in common. Our love for beer.
I drink a lot of beer.
When
I'm recording, especially. Mm-hmm. If you drink hard liquor when you're recording, pretty soon you're so out of it, you can't do anything anymore. But beer, it gives you a little energy and you can keep going all night, you know? Mm. And beer is really puts on the pounds.
July 3rd. The date, the reason for this special podcast, 1971. 50 years have passed. And whether you believe it or not, July 3rd, 1971 is when Mr. James Douglas Morrison supposedly left this plane. Or, like me, you might think otherwise. This day remains a reminder of the great musician, writer, the poet, and the legend. And for those who knew him personally, they all have their side of the story for July 3rd, 1971. In this montage, you will hear Ben Fong Torres, Michael McClure, and the Doors manager, Bill Siddons. But first, how did this soothsayer see his own death?
I hope at about age 120, with a sense of humor and in a nice, comfortable bed with... No, I wouldn't want anybody around. I just want to quietly drift off. I think science has a chance in our lifetime to conquer death. I think it's very possible.
Jim Morrison, the lead singer for The Doors, a rock music group, is dead. He was 27. His personal manager said he died in Paris, probably of heart failure.
Spokesman for the public relations firm representing The Doors rock musical group says the group's lead singer, James Morrison, had died in Paris. Efforts to confirm the report in Paris were not immediately successful. The spokesman, Bob Gibson, of the public relations firm in Los Angeles, could give no explanation of the delay in announcing the death. Gibson says he learned of Morrison's death of apparently natural causes from William Siddons, the singer's personal manager. Unofficially, I can tell you Mr. Morrison is dead. Jim Morrison is dead, and they say natural causes, which is...
This is Jim Ladd of KLOS. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special bulletin. Rock music fans all over the world are in mourning today. Jim Morrison, lead singer of The Doors, was found dead in his Paris apartment this morning. French authorities attribute the cause of death to a heart attack. Morrison was 27 years old. Goodbye, Jim. We'll miss you.
We knew from the gravity of the reports from Paris and hearing from Bill Siddons, the manager who had gone there to help to arrange the burial, that this is all too real.
Jim went in to take a hot bath, and she describes finding him the next morning. She'd gone to sleep, and he had died in the bathtub on his back. She said he was smiling. I'm glad to hear that.
Phone rang Monday morning at 4:30, and my wife, Sherry, sat bolt upright when the phone started ringing and said, "Jim's dead." And I looked at her and went, "What?" And I answered the phone, and it was Clive Selwood, our label manager in the UK, telling me that three different journalists had called him and told him that Jim had died. And I got a 3:30 plane and was in Paris at 6:30 the next morning. I just held her for a minute and The coffin was in the living room. I literally spent hours with Pamela just talking. And she said he told me when he was there, when he died, he wanted to be buried in Père Lachaise. I just thought it was beautiful that he even knew enough that that's where he might want to be buried, you know? And I thought it was there was something completely right about doing this. And I was absolutely clear, having been through a number of press debacles in my life, that the best thing we could do is not tell anybody. We're going to do it our way. We're going to bury a poet.
How about that? Mr. Siddons maintains to this day that he felt no need or desire to look into the casket to make sure that Jim's body was in there. So there you have it, man. We wrap up Jim Gone for 50 Inside Wayne Manor with Stephen Wayne and Friends. And I want to thank you very much for subscribing. And I want to thank you very much, even if you're just checking this out, because like me, you love the Doors and are fascinated with Mr. Jim Morrison. I hope that all of you are healthy and safe, because that is what it is all about. I also want to thank you for allowing me to do this. I'm going to tell you that I've waited a very long time to put all of this together, and I am excited that I got a chance to share it all with you. I also want to thank all of the interviewers that gave us the great audio and have shared it for the world to hear, like Mr. Ben Fong Torres, Tony Thomas, PBS, and Martin Smith. I will also post a collection of source material to give credit where credit is due, as well as suggested reading, listening, and watching. It goes without saying I have to thank Mr. John Densmore and Mr. Robbie Krieger as well, but I leave you with the thoughts of Jim by the late Ray Manzarek, and also Mr. Morrison reciting one of my favorite works of his, Graveyard Poem. Before Ray, before Jim, here's Studio Guy to give you the haps on where you can find everything Inside Wayne Manor with Stephen Wayne and Friends.
Everything Inside Wayne Manor with Stephen Wayne and Friends can be found at www.insidewaynemanor.com. Episodes, playlists, contact, social media, and more, all insidewaynemanor.com.
Rest in peace, Mr. James Douglas Morrison, and maybe I shall finally meet you someday. Until we do this again, peace!
His world on you depends. Our life will never end. The ultimate statement, our life will never end. And the ancient Egyptians used to say that if you say a man's name, he is alive. So I take this opportunity to say Jim Morrison.
It was the greatest night of my life. Although I still had not found a wife, I had my friends right there beside me. We were close together. We scaled the wall. We tripped through the graveyard. Ancient shapes were all around us. No music, but the wet grass felt fresh beside the fog. Two made love in a silent spot. One chased a rabbit into the dark. A girl got drunk and bawled the dead, and I gave empty sermons to my head. Cemetery cool and quiet, hate to leave your sacred lay, dread the milky coming of the day. I'd love to stay, 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 I'd love to stay.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. Is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, thank you very much for the meeting with me. I really appreciate it. And thank you for the info. 4327-7150. There's a lot to think about.